Heart of the Conqueror by Aaron Dembski Bowden. Narrated by Penelope Rawlins. The Emperor chose her. In the wake of that choice, honor and pride, those most insubstantial of currencies, were lavished upon her bloodline. Many of her cousins, hundreds of them, in a tangled cobweb of legitimacy and bastardry, offered their best wishes, brought warnings, or simply seethed in jealous silence. Others were more overt in their reactions. She received a small fortune in gifts, bribes, and favours, read through almost 100 formal petitions for her hand in marriage, and survived 3 assassination attempts. None of it mattered. The Emperor chose her. He hadn't come in person, of course. His decision came in the form of a scroll sealed with Malkador's sigil. The Imperium's seneschal had recorded the Emperor's mandate in writing, dispatching it with patient haste to the territories of House Andraster. She didn't need to read the scroll to know the Emperor's choice. Nothing else would bring a full phalanx of golden custodians to the spire palaces of the Navigator Quarter. Before her father had time to open the scroll before his gathered courtiers, word had spread like wildfire throughout the city's spires. He spoke 2 words to the Captain General of the Legio Custodes. The only 2 words expected of him. The most important 2 words he'd ever spoken in all the many long decades of his life.
She accepts.
A Gloriana-class battleship, one of only 20 ever constructed. She accepted because there was no possibility or precedent for refusal. This was what she was born and bred to do. A whirlwind of preparation gripped the following days, passing by in a blur of other people's effort. Less than a week later, pampered and harassed by a small army of slaves and retainers, she set sail for Mars. Waiting in the skies of the Red Planet was a ship eclipsing all others nearby, casting its shadow across them all as it endured the final days of Void Dock. She sensed its impatience even before setting foot on its hangar deck. Its noble hunger was obvious in every meter of dark, fortified iron.
"The Adamant Resolve," she said aloud.
"Flagship of the Warhounds." Her first ship, and her new home. That had been an eternity ago. Now they were the World Eaters, and her ship was the Conqueror. The rebellion confused her. She was a sailor, not a soldier. Her gaze rested elsewhere, above and beyond mortal concerns of war and territory. A war fought in the Emperor's name was no different from a war fought for the War Master. Her thralls and feeders began bringing word from the Conqueror's crew, telling conflicting tales of loyalty and treachery. Some said that Horus's ambition had driven them to declare war on Terra itself. Others brought word of the Emperor's tragic death, praising Horus for fighting his way through the crumbling Imperium, back to the throne world, where he would end the civil war and rule in his father's place. She didn't know who to believe, not at first. Over the weeks and months, rumours became reports, and reports became facts. She was still unsure of how to act, or if action was required at all. Yet she came back to one resonant truth, again and again and again. The Emperor had chosen her. Not the War Master, not Lord Angron, not Lord Aurelian, with whom they sailed now. They used her and respected her when they acknowledged her at all, but they hadn't chosen her. They had rebelled against he who had forged the Imperium. They had declared war against he who had elevated her kind into lives of splendour and allowed the Navis clan families to sail the Black Gulf between the stars. Now they sailed to Terra to kill him,
he who had chosen her. The immaterium was an ocean of scalding, shrieking light. Faces boiled up out of the migraine madness. Faces from her past that wept and laughed and raged and screamed as they melted away. Looking through the hull revealed the shadow of the Trisaion sailing nearby, hulking and grey and swollen with life, rocking and crashing through the unquiet tides. Waves of ether broke against Lorgar's colossal battleship, setting it groaning and rolling as surely as the Conqueror groaned and rolled. Like any ship caught in a storm, the surest way to survive was to sail through the rising waves, fighting them with hope, skill, and trust in sanctified iron. Yet the Conqueror laboured where the Trisaion did not. The former wallowed and took tidal blows to its belly, while the latter cut the etheric ocean like a great defiant blade. Blackness pressed at her from outside the ship, a blackness that no eyes could pierce. Not just the absence of light, but the death of it. A navigator intuitively knew what no other human could experience. The deepest tides of the warp ate light. This was where illumination came to die. Her beacon was the Emperor's light. Dimmer now, dulled as if by pain, but still the only light by which to sail. She bathed in it, just as she always had. She followed the Astronomicon as it lit the darkest edges of the unreality behind reality. Captain Sarin had come to her chambers not long ago to speak of the warp's roughening tides. She liked Captain Sarin, who called her my navigator, as was proper, not Mistress Nisha Andraster, like her fawning thralls. The conversation had not lasted long, for Nisha had no answers to give her captain. The warp was rougher, the Emperor's light fainter, and she knew no reason why either was true, only that they were. Lord Lorgar Aurelian came to her some time after. The Conqueror was slow, he told her. They were holding the fleet back. She apologised to him, and he'd smiled with the radiance of his imperial father. There was nothing to apologise for, he had promised. Some lessons took time to learn, that was all. Then he spoke of other paths through the warp, other illuminations, other lights to sail by. The Trisaion, he said, was guided not by the Astronomicon, but by the songs of distant gods. And could she hear them? Could she, if she really tried? His words were the soft tones of a teacher, but she saw her death waiting behind his kindly eyes.
Do you hear the god's song, Navigator Andraster?
Yes, she had said to the bearer of the word. Lord Aurelian left her in peace, but the Conqueror still struggled through the tides. Her lie would not last long. In her palatial chambers within the Conqueror's heart, she cradled the ornate Laz pistol in her lace-gloved hands, keeping it hidden from sight. Her fingernails were pristine, brushed each morning and night by her attendants. Her slaves always kept her fastidiously clean. To prevent infection or to adhere to their ingrained courtly standards, she'd never been sure. Her regal robes clung to her skin with a void sailor's honest sweat. Her throne interpreted her silent impulses and the slightest of muscle twitches forcing the ship to follow. Through her bond with the Conqueror's changing, mutating machine spirit, she felt the rage of the thing chained in the ship's deepest dark. The thing that had once been the Primarch, and whose existence now reshaped the ship's sacred metal into an image of Angron's fury. What use was a Geller field when the warp already lived inside the Conqueror's bones? Through her third eye, she watched the Trisaion cutting ahead once more, already an infinity of distance away. The conqueror moaned and laboured, and slowed in the larger ship's wake. When she had been chosen by the Emperor, and not these monsters and men that now sailed to murder him, she had believed that she would pay any price to see stars and worlds never before witnessed by mankind. Time had made a lie of that belief. She wasn't willing to betray the man that had chosen her. She pressed the muzzle of the stolen pistol to her temple. Her attendants were running, shrieking, weeping. "For the Emperor," she told them. Navigator Nisha Andrasta pulled the trigger and tore the Conqueror from the warp in a cascade of screaming, tortured metal. That was Heart of the Conqueror by Aaron Dembski-Bowden, narrated by Penelope Rawlins. Copyrighted by Games Workshop, 2014.